Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
I want you to open up with me the book of John, the book of John, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to start off reading verses 1 through 5. And then from there, we're just going to dive right in. Does that sound good, 5 p.m.? Ooh, does that sound good? Oh, okay. There you go, because you were just turned up and we're not turning down. Okay. John 15, verse 1 through 5, it says this. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Not a vine, but the vine. It says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you could do nothing. I'll take the next few moments. I want to simply preach to you a message titled, I Am the Vine. Can we just pray one more time? Father, we're completely overwhelmed that you would allow us to be in your presence. I pray now that you would just speak to us. You would renew minds. You would shift hearts. And you would have your way in this place. And ultimately, God, we want Jesus to be glorified. So we love you. We honor you, and we're cautious to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we shout out.
Amen.
Come on, we shout out.
Amen.
Man, amen. Amen. Have you ever found yourself paying attention, eavesdropping on a conversation because you're certain that they're talking about you? Anyone has ever been there before? I'm white. I didn't want that to slip past you, okay? And one of the deficiencies of being white is not being able to speak Spanish, okay? Even if I knew how to, I wouldn't be able to because of the way God has built me. He gave white people certain tongues where we can't roll our R's. We would like to, it's just physically impossible, okay? And the fact of the matter is, not only can I not speak Spanish, but I can't understand Spanish. And why that stands as a dilemma for me is because I am married to a Hispanic. My wife is Colombian. Shout out to the Colombians. My wife is Colombian, and there are times where I find myself in conversations with my wife and her mom, and we're talking, and I feel like it's going good, but then all of a sudden, they change the language on me, and it's like somebody pressed the SAP button on that conversation. So I'm just standing there, and I don't know why I do this, but I do. This is a real stance. I lean in like this, like if my lean is going to allow me to translate what they're saying. And I listen for key words. And certain times I hear certain words where I get a bit confused, like this one word, Cristo, which means Jesus, but it's confusing for me since my name is Chris. And I don't know if they're talking about Jesus or they're talking about... Do you know that every time we open up the Word of God, it's always talking about you. It's always talking about you. It's always talking about everyone else. And it's always talking about Jesus. And the reason why that's important is because you could come across a text like this one and you could think to yourself, oh, this is just some nice poetry. This has nothing to do with me. I don't really need to pay attention to it. However, when you understand that every part of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, has everything to do with you, you start to read it a little bit differently. So as we break down these words and these verses, I want to encourage you to lean in. I want to encourage you to observe the text with me, because I believe that God has been trying to say something to you and to us and to each and every person in the room that is not only going to allow us to catch revelation, but that revelation is going to change and help our relationship. So I want us to make sure that we observe what's going on, because the fact of the matter is this term, when Jesus says, I am the vine, you could almost think to yourself, it's like every other I am statement that we previously heard. However, this one is distinctly different, because this one is explicitly only talking to believers. When he says, I am the vine, this is now a conversation that he's having with his disciples. There's not a whole lot of people around. There's not all these crowds and all these non-believers and Pharisees and Sadducees. This is explicitly for the disciples, and he's in conversation with them. Why? Because, well, non-believers don't bear fruit. And salvation isn't necessarily a fruit-bearing event. In other words, just because you're saved doesn't mean you bear fruit. And what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples is, I have some expectation for you. I want to make you aware. I need you to fully understand, because we live in a time, we live in a day and age where it's easy for us to disconnect. However, I want to make sure that we stay connected, because although you're going to deal with some stuff and you're going to go through some things, there's no way that we could miss out on this relationship. In fact, it's not only important to know what he's saying, but it's imperative you know when he's saying it. See, when he states this final I am statement, understand that this final statement is happening in his final hours. These are moments before he's about to be arrested. These are moments before he's about to be crucified. You have to ask yourself, why would he share these words with these groups of people, with this group of people in this moment? What is it about this moment? This doesn't really seem the time for a poem. It's not really the pep talk that I really thought we would get. However, if you simply look at it as a poem, then you're going to miss out on what it is that he's trying to communicate and share with his disciples. What he's saying is, it's about to go down. The days are about to get dark. The people that you used to argue with are now going to try to kill you. They're going to try to arrest you. They're going to try to sabotage your ministry. They're going to try to stop you. However, I want to make sure that you stay connected with me. The other day, I was on a flight, and I needed to get some work done, so I pull out my laptop, I open up my laptop, and I go to sign on to the internet. And as I'm signing on to the internet, I noticed the price of the internet. And I thought to myself, my goodness, am I paying for Wi-Fi or jet fuel? However, how many of us know there's always a cost to connecting? It doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come easy. There is a cost to connect. And here's what God is saying. The cost of connecting with me is not greater than the fruit that I want you to bear. Because if you look at the price, you may say to yourself, I don't want that deal. But what you don't realize is that this is a deal you can't miss out on. Although it seems like this deal is going to be difficult. Although it seems like this deal is going to put you in some rough spots dealing in a tough situation. I mean, they're going to hate you. They're going to mock you. They're going to try to kill you. But the fact of the matter is, when you follow Jesus, you choose to follow a dangerous path. However, to choose not to follow Jesus is to end up on a deadly path. What Jesus is saying, you're going to follow me, because without me, there's no living. That's why he opens up this section in this with this verse and this statement. He says in verse 1, I am the real vine. That's the Message translation. He says, I am the real vine, and my father is the farmer. I am the true vine. I am the real vine. What is he saying to them? He's saying, look, in this moment, you're not going to see me for a while. And as a result of not seeing me, you're going to see other options. You're going to see other scenarios. You're going to see other paths. You may be introduced to other religions and other ways of thinking. However, just because I'm not physically in front of you doesn't mean that we can't stay spiritually connected. In fact, we need to make sure that we stay spiritually connected, because if you're not careful, you may end up following something that you shouldn't be following. This is why he says, I am the true vine. I am the real vine. I'm letting you know that there are other options. However, those other options don't even compare what it is that you have in me. If you've ever been in New York City and or heard of Fifth Avenue, and Fifth Avenue is famous for some of the greatest designers in all of the world. I mean, you could walk down a block and you have some of the greats like Chanel and Louis Vuitton and Saint Laurent, and all the women said, amen. Give it, Lord. Won't he do it? Although you could walk down Fifth Ave and find designers and brands and clothing lines that are probably comparable to one another, what Jesus is saying is, you walk through life, you'll never find another one like me. There's no one that ever compares. You're gonna see other stores, you're gonna see other options, but I promise you, you'll never see another God. You'll never see another Jesus. So be careful what you're putting on, be careful what you're dressing in, because if Jesus is not in that tag, then you shouldn't be wearing it and you shouldn't be putting it on. And I get that the options are persuasive. I get that it's interesting. I get that it's seductive. However, it's fake. So you think you're walking down Fifth Ave, but you're really shopping at Canal Street. What you're settling for is a bootleg. What you're settling for is not real. He's saying, first things first, I'm the realest. That's what he's saying. And in fact, it's not just the realest, because to say I'm the realest is to suggest that there's another real. He says, I'm the only real. All these other guys are fakers. They're not telling you the truth. They're convinced of it. However, they need to get connected with me too. And if they get connected with me too, they'll realize what they've been missing out on. So although you have the option, although culture and relevance tells you that this is okay and you should be a part of that, here's what you need to know. There is no other God but me. And if you don't find it in my word, then you don't try to change it. You don't try to use it. You don't try to follow that path. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the... So you follow me. And if you're not following that, then you're following wrong. Essentially, that's what he's saying. But because he's so real, he keeps it real. He says, because we're connected, I'm going to work out some stuff in you and through you. He goes on to say in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Point number 2 is, God cuts away what we don't need so that we could become what he needs us to be. God cuts away what we don't need. What is it that we don't need? We don't need anger. We don't need lust. We don't need false theology. We don't need laziness. We don't need that. So what he says is, I don't need to prune that because we don't need that. That's not a part of my character. That's not a part of who I am. Because you're becoming more like me, I want you to carry what it is that I carry. And I don't carry those things. So I'm going to cut that off. And there are the other areas, which is the fruit, that I'm going to prune. And there's a big difference between cutting and pruning. See, he says, I'm going to cut it off, but cutting off the things that you don't need, the things that you don't want. Because every time you pray the prayer, God, I want to honor you. God, would you make me the man that you've called me to be? Would you make me the woman that you called me to be? Essentially, you are saying you want him to cut the things away that should not be there. So understand, it's only the answer to prayer. And then when you pray and you say, God, make me more like you. Allow me to be more loving. Allow me to be more kind. What you are asking for essentially is to be pruned. There are the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm sure that you're familiar with them, but in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says that these are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when the Bible says, he cuts every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. When it says he wants to prune the fruit, this is exactly what he's talking about. But however, because of bad translations and human error, we have been mistaken for a while of how we've looked at this verse and believed this verse. See, I would be a faulty teacher if I were to get up here and try to talk to you about all of these fruits and then individualize them. Maybe I try to call faithfulness an apple and self-control a mango. And I try to break down each of these, right, different characteristics as different fruits. However, that's not true. They are not different. They are one and the same. See, it would also be wrong of me if I were to try to give you a description of a tree and say there's one tree and they produce different types of fruits. That wouldn't be correct either. What the Bible is basically saying is that you need to embody these fruits. That's why newer translations don't use the word fruit, because that comes off as a plurality. What it does do is say, hey, I want you to prune the grape. I want you to prune the orange. Why? Because if you were to slice that orange or that apple or that grape, whatever type it is down the middle, each of these would make up the ingredients of that one fruit. So then you understand that these aren't isolated. I don't have to build each one separately. In fact, it's impossible to grow in each one separately. You don't grow in love and not grow in joy. You don't grow in peace and not grow in patience. When you grow in joy, you grow in patience. When you grow in love, you grow in self-control. It actually happens all together. And this is what happens through the pruning. He says, I'm developing you to become more and more like what it is that I've called you to be. But here's also the truth. You're not going to get it right every time. That's why point number three is, even if we don't get any better, we're enough in him. This speaks to the grace of God. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. What he's basically saying is there are different kinds of disciples. There are different kinds of believers. And there's one believer that may be new to the faith. And the one that's new to the faith will say things like, I'm not right yet. I'm not in the position yet to be pruned and to be cut and to be changed. I need to go fix myself up and then come back. But that would suggest that you could do anything good on your own. That eradicates the statement where it says you can't do anything when you are disconnected to me. What he's saying is my grace is sufficient. I accept you just as you are. I don't need you to change anything it is about you, because I'm going to do that. So even if you come in your best or you come in your worst, you are in the perfect position to now engage in the process. And then he's also talking to the disciples that were in the process and going through the pruning and going through the cutting, but maybe they made a mistake, because we know disciples make mistakes. We know that there are disciples that don't get it right every time. And in fact, 99.9%, I'd actually go out on a limb and say 100% of the disciples that have lived in the past and that will ever live in the future will get it wrong multiple times. So here's what he says, because you're going to get it wrong, that doesn't mean that you have to stop. Just because you make a mistake, just because you mess up, just because you drop the ball, just because you say you're going to do something and then you don't do it. Like when Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter says, are you crazy? I will never deny you, God. I'll kill someone for you. I'll die for you. But deny you? Never. 2 hours later, deny, deny, deny. But as a result of denying, Jesus doesn't say, see, you denied. Now you're out. It's never even a question. It's never even a thought. It never even comes up in Jesus' conversation with him. He just addresses him right away, and he gets right to it, and he tells him how he wants him to love his church and how he wants him to live. And then through that, he then gives him what it is that he's called him to do. Friend, we serve a God that loves us so much that even when we don't do what he wants, we're still the one that he wants. He says, I want to use you. I want to take you. I want to mold you. I want to cut off what shouldn't be. I want to prune what is, because the love is there, but there's more love that needs to come out of you. The self-control is there, but there's more self-control that needs to come out of you. The faithfulness is there, but as I prune it, there's going to be more faithfulness that comes out of you. So you can mess up and you can make mistakes, but I promise you, the more I prune you, the less you'll mess up. And even when you do mess up, you won't take as long as the last time to get back. But it doesn't stop there. Because like we read, he goes on to say, remain in me. Almost as a sign of warning. If you stay in me, you won't have to worry about messing up. If you do mess up, just come back and remain in me. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. What is he saying? He's saying, I need you to stay in relationship with me, and I'll stay in relationship with you. And we're going to work out these things together. We're going to work through these things together. But I need you to make the choice. I need you to make the decision. And really, he's leaving the easy part on us, because it's a deal that anybody would get if they fully understood it. Well, wait a minute. You're telling me if I remain in you, I'm going to receive abundance and I'm going to live a life of joy. But if I don't, I don't get to experience that. He goes, yeah, remain in me. But because of free will, I need you to make the choice. I need you to say that you want me and that you need me and that you're going to remain in me. Because if you remain in me and I remain in you, here's what's going to happen. You are going to experience success. You are going to experience plenty. You are going to experience abundance. And the things that you thought you needed, you're going to realize that you never needed. And the things that you thought you were really good at, you don't even realize all the great things that I'm going to produce in you. However, you have to make the choice to stay connected. Warren Wiersbe says it like this. He says, as branches, we have the privilege of sharing his life and the responsibility of abiding. Our responsibility is to abide in him. How do we abide? Well, we make sure we stay connected in church. We make sure that we're reading our word. We make sure that we're praying. We make sure that we're involved in Voos Cruise. We make sure that we're serving. We make sure that we're tithing. We're making sure that we're doing all of those things because they allow us to abide in him. However, there's another part that you have to make sure that you choose, because this is where it gets pretty easy not to abide. Even when times get tough, abide in me. Even when it gets difficult, you have to make the choice that as difficult as it gets, you're going to remain with me. He says, as branches, we have the privilege of sharing his life and the responsibility of abiding. As friends, we have the privilege of knowing his will and the responsibility of obeying. In other words, in order to abide, you must obey. You have to do what he's telling you to do when you don't want to do it. When he says turn the other cheek and you don't feel like it because you want to get ratchet, you turn the other cheek. When he says walk up to that person and forgive them, but they curse you out and they never say sorry, you need to forgive them. When he says take the money that's in your pocket and bless that person, and you look at their person and you look at their brand new outfit and you say, God, they don't even really need my money. I mean, look what they're wearing right now. They think they're killing the game, but they're really in debt, okay? And if they were a better steward of their money, then they wouldn't even be doing all that and I wouldn't have to be giving them nothing. He says, no. If you're going to abide in me, then you got to obey me. And you don't argue with what I'm asking you to do. In fact, you do what I'm asking you to do. Because that is the fruit. That is what shows. That's what puts on display us in relationship with him. That even when we don't feel like it, we do it. Why? Because in order to abide, we must obey. But be comforted. Because the byproduct of abiding and obeying is abundance. So by doing the things that you may find tough, by doing the things that you may find difficult, by doing the things you don't want to do is actually blessings, which is amazing because that's how the kingdom of God works. When you give, you actually receive. When you lay down your life, you actually gain more life. When you give up joy or when you give up something that is dear to you, you gain joy. It's amazing how the kingdom works. That's why we wrote this down for number 5. You could live on your own. However, there's no life outside of him. See, when you're living this kind of life, when you're living as a disciple, here's what you know and you find out very quickly. The life that we're called to, it may not feel the safest, but the truth is there's no salvation outside of this life. So even if I find myself doing things that I don't necessarily want to do, I do them because what other choice do I have? There is no living if you're not living within Jesus. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, I need you to remain in me. I need you to abide in me. I need you to make sure that you are staying connected with me. And if you are connected with me, then I'm able to see your life and the fruit of your life on full display. See, too often we think we're connected and we're not. Before I said to you, I was on a plane and I was on the internet. However, that really wasn't all true. I was on a plane and I did pull out a laptop and the screen was on and the webpage was up and the motions and the graphics, they were all moving on the page. However, because I forgot to accept the terms and agreement, I actually never connected. It's amazing how you could think you're connected by where you sit. You could think you're connected by where you stand. You could think you're connected by the people you're surrounded by. But the way we find out if you're connected is if your life bears fruit. Worship team, you could join me. Do you remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus walks up to a fig tree? And the Bible says that the fig tree was in leaf. What that term means is that this tree had leaves. It says the fig tree was in leaf, but it didn't bear any fruit. So what does Jesus do? He curses it. The truth is, if you were to read a little bit more about the season and the time when it was that he approached the fig tree, you actually find out very quickly that it even wasn't the season for the figs to bloom. However, it frustrated Jesus. And this one commentator suggests that the reason why this frustrated Jesus in this moment is because when he walked up to this tree and he saw that there was no fruit, he could care less about the season. He was frustrated because this tree was appearing that it was supposed to be giving life-bearing fruit and it wasn't. And it reminded him of Genesis 3. See, Genesis 3 is where Adam and Eve fall. Genesis 3 is where the first two humans were asked to abide in his guidelines, in asking them what to do, what he wanted them to do, but they chose not to listen. They chose to search for another reel. They decided to search for another vine and look to something else. And as a result of it, the byproduct of that was shame. And because now they felt naked and ashamed and they were worried and they realized what sin that they committed, what did they do? They covered themselves with leaves. Leaves that bore no fruit. See, the reason why he curses the fig tree is because it didn't matter the season. He says, I want you to bear fruit regardless the season. The days could be happy or the days could be bad. It could be summer or it could be winter. It could be snowing or the sun could be shining. Regardless of what's going on, I want to see you bearing fruit. See, the fact of the matter is when we pray prayers like, God, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you. I want to bear much fruit. That's a dangerous prayer because the reality of it is the way that God produces fruit, the way that he handles his crops are not the normal way that any of us would think to handle it. See, he allows the fruit to bear in the storm. He allows the fruit to be shown and to grow in the tough times. You don't get patience because you ask for patience. You don't get self-control because you say, I want self-control. When you say, I want self-control, he puts you in a position where you're going to be tempted. When you say, God, I want patience, he's going to give you children. He's going to put you in positions. He's going to put you in seasons. He's going to put you in moments to say, if you're really about it, if you really want it, this is how I grow it. And too often we come to church and we sing the songs and we go through all the motions, but we don't really accept the terms and agreement. Because the moment it goes bad, the moment hardship comes, the moment disappointment comes, the moment sickness comes, the moment someone's let down or offended or hurt, now all of a sudden we're questioning God and we're running and we're choosing old lifestyle choices and we're hanging out in the wrong places again and we're doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. What God is saying is, I want the kind of disciples that no matter how bad it gets, that no matter how difficult it gets, no matter if it's raining, no matter if it's storming, no matter what, they're going to follow me and they're going to bear my fruit. So I want to encourage you as we close this thing out, that we're going to be the kind of people, we're going to be the kind of church, we're going to be the kind of believers that put our connection on display. Because the fact of the matter is, when you're connected, the fruit is detected. When you are connected, it is easy to spot the fruit. So the fact of the matter is, when we're hated, love is our response. When tough times happen, joy is our spirit. When war breaks out, peace is our posture. When times are trying, patience is our stance. When we are mistreated, kindness is our tone. When the days are dark, we will fixate on the goodness of God. When we are cheated on, God's faithfulness is what we'll model. When we are mishandled, gentleness will be our grip. And when all hell breaks loose, self-control will keep us worshiping and keep us praising and keep us rejoicing, because even when all hell breaks out around us, we have heaven on the inside of us. And we say, if God, you're allowing us to go through it, then we know we're coming out of it. We will be your people. We will be your disciples. We will operate the way you want us to operate. We will live the way you want us to live. Hell nor high water, you are our God and we are your people. Foo, if you believe that, give them a shout in this place.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.